obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
My name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic.
Tom.
My home group is Avon Lake Friday. Avon Lake's a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, about 17 miles west, right on Lake Erie. My sobriety date is July the 5th, 1962, which means I'm pulling from close to 48 years, and so many things get through you. So many stories, and you see the new people, and you want to let them know. You want to let them know that we know what it feels like to be in a room this size and feel like you're on the outside looking in. We know what it feels like not to feel like you belong. That's why we you hear 50 years and you hear, oh, good deal, nice deal. One day and our roof comes down. We do that to make you know that we are so happy you are here, because we know you just left hell. And we're going to do everything we know how to do to let you know you don't have to go back, because we've been there. We've been there, and we found a way out. And we try to give it to you, the same thing that was given to us. My God. If you can leave this room today like I left the rooms when I first started coming with hope. Darn it, if those people did it, maybe. If that guy can do it, maybe I can do it. That's what we're trying to do. That's why anybody's up here making the coffee, pouring it, whatever they're doing to let you know that this is our way of saying thank you, God, for giving us this gift. I just talked to the wife. She would be here. She says, make sure you say hello to everyone. She says, but I had a chance to spend 3 days with my two great-grandsons, 3 years old and 2 years old. And she says, I was trying to think of whether I wanted to go out and say hello to them and spend 3 days with my grandsons. And she says, that was a no-brainer. I'm here. I love it. Thank God. I thank John, making me feel welcome, and his buddy John, making me feel welcome when I come. I walked in the lobby, and Carol, God, thank you. You make people feel so good. Thank you, Carol. Oh, I could begin to start Andy and his brother, who, and John, every time I turn around, I think he works for the Secret Service or something. Every time I turn around, there he is. Can I get you anything? Can you do anything? I go up to the room, and there's three messages. Tom, this is John. How are you? You people are good. You people are very good. I said, wife, I'm speaking about an hour. She says, please, Tom. She says, keep some order in your lead. She says, ever since you turned 75, the last 4 or 5 years, she says, I think you're senile. She says, you jump around so much. You talk about yesterday. You talk about 40 years ago. You talk about the grandkids. She says, for crying out loud, she says, I can follow you. I lived it. But those people don't know you. They may not be able to follow you. I says, honey, I'm speaking to alcoholics. Believe me, honey, they're not wrapped too tight. We have no problems communicating. I'll spend 5 minutes or two cups of coffee with any 5 or 10 alcoholics in this room, and we know each other a long, long time. Because when I say to another alcoholic, you know, when I come here, I lived in fear, and I didn't even know what the hell I was afraid of. I don't have to explain that. I have to explain that. They understand. I stopped in to cash my paycheck and woke up in Chicago in jail 3 days later. Don't remember how I got there. Oh, yeah, done that, been there, done that. Woke up at the house and the wife and kids were gone, and the house was cold and I was sick and I was broke. Dying looked easier than living. Yeah, you're in the right place, fella. I've been there. They jump around. I'm going to jump around. I jump around. I can't help it. I'm not. And they gave me some of that damn, what is it? That coffee. What is it? Starbucks. God, you talk about high. Yeah, look, you people are sick. God almighty, they gave me 4 cups of Starbucks. And then some yo-yo says, you got to put this stuff in it to make it a little stronger. I was talking a mile a minute. I gave 3 leads in 15 minutes. Laid awake all night staring at the damn ceiling. A lot of years ago, I was sober a short time. I was sober sure enough that I didn't know enough to keep my mouth shut. But we led a meeting in, I think, Toledo or Maumee, Indiana or someplace. But it was a deal like this. They had the tables set up, and the people that did a lot of the work on it, they had their meals up at the front table. And we got finished eating, and they announced the lead. And my wife is left-handed, so she always sits to this side of me. So she's sitting right here, I'm sitting where you're sitting. And I get up and I get the lead. And people, you never really know when you get up here. You're reaching down in your gut. This isn't a language from the head, people. It's a language from the heart. Everybody that gets up here to speak is reaching down in his gut, hoping to God he gives that new person or any person in the room, you could be here 20 years and hurting, and giving him a little, just something to hang on to for another day. So you get up and you give the talk, and I gave the talk, and and I thanked them and I sat down. Now this was a big deal in that part of the country. I don't know how many people were there, but they didn't have enough room in the auditorium, so they had satellite rooms with televisions, and there was 5 or 6 microphones and lights like these staring at you. You can't see anything, but they were staring at you. And a woman jumps up, and she says, you know, I am not an alcoholic, my husband is, but I'm so glad I come here. She says, if AA can do just 1/10 for my husband what it's done for you, I will be the happiest woman in the world. Well, what this woman didn't know is my wife and I were ready for divorce. We were fighting tooth and nail. We were fighting when we going to the meeting. We were fighting when we sat down to eat. And Joe Yo-Yo here, he pokes his wife and he says, did you hear that? She says, yeah, I heard it. I thought it was over, and she went on and on. Oh, yak, 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 yak. I said to the wife, aren't you glad you got me? And I could see the veins coming up in the neck. And you know, Al-Anon, the people are coming up. Hello, Glenda Lee, how's everything? Oh, fine, everything's fine. Yeah, everything's fine. Woman said something else. I went to say something, and my wife to this day says she didn't know the microphones were on. She knew the microphones were on. She says, Tommy, that woman doesn't live with you, you rotten son of a... Everybody laughs. Claps, laughs, yay! Where else but in AA can a woman call her husband a no-good son of a gun in public, and everybody says, good deal, yay! Because there's no nonsense here, people. I'm not up here to entertain you. I'm up here to share my strength, hope, and experience. I'm up here to share my life with you. My life before I come here, my life when I got here, and my life now. That's why we're here. And we haven't got time for nonsense. We haven't got time for nonsense. We don't care how rich you are, how rich you're not. How bad you were, how bad you weren't. How important you are out there. I'll tell you how important I am in my home. My wife has gardens. She has herb gardens and all these gardens. And she's in magazines in America. They come in buses to walk to her gardens. That's how good she is. And one day I was going to help her, and I cut the grass, and I seen all these weeds, and I cut them. Well, they were herbs. I didn't know that. So I'm not allowed to cut the grass anymore. And so my job, we got a little pickup truck, and I go down to the farms, and I get all the cow manure. And I bring it home, and I mix it with the dirt, and I make compost. My wife couldn't have a garden like she has without the compost. I got my own rubber boots, I got my own rototiller, and I got the shovel and the rakes, and I make the compost. Guys come over, I'm sponsoring. Tommy, I'm in trouble with my wife. Damn it, she don't appreciate all I'm doing. You realize I haven't had a drink and nobody. Guys, come on with me. Put the boots on. Here's a rake. Rake that stuff. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. What the hell are we doing? We're making compost. How long are you sober? Long time. This is what I'm going to do, maybe. If you're lucky. Anytime you feel like you're a big shot or you're important, come to my house. See how important you are when you're mixing horse shit. You come to believe in this program that if it doesn't bleed, the hell with it. The only thing that's important in this world is people. People. I used to worry all the time about money. God, they're going to run out of Social Security. They're going to, oh my God, the government's going to the dogs. I haven't got enough money. I come here, you teach me how to live. I got enough money to live the rest of my life. If I die tomorrow. You don't worry anymore. Believe me, people, you put your feet where we put ours, and you won't worry anymore. If you can come back from the dead, living's awful good just to be alive. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. My mother, hello? Oh, no, I left as quick as I could. It was no bargain. I didn't learn. Andy tells me about all the good times in Brooklyn, yeah? Well, he didn't live where I lived. Cold water flat, third floor. Get your head busted every week? No. My dad was an admitted alcoholic. Died an alcoholic's death in Florida as a result of this program. I could go down and spend some time with him 3 days before he died and tell him I love him. Rough go watching a man that was over 200 pounds, weigh about 130 pounds, with no stomach, no gut, no nothing, dying in pain. Thank God for this program, I could be part of the solution instead of the problem. You could do things like that. Took my mother to Ohio when she had about 5 or 6 good years. But anyway, I got into some trouble at a very early age, a couple of guys got whatever, and I run off to the service. I volunteered for the service. I was supposed to be 3 years, it was close to 4 years because of career, and finally I got discharged. And the service was the same as my life always was. Whenever I had the time and the money, I drank. I didn't know any other way you had a good time other than drink. How do you ask a girl to dance if you don't drink? How do you go in a crowded room? If you don't drink, I don't know how to dance, but you give me a couple of shots, a couple of beers, I'm Fred Astaire. Easy. I loved what booze did for me. I get home, and I'm home maybe a year, year and a half, I don't quite remember, maybe a year. My dad grabs me one night, because I'm getting in a lot of jackpots, people. I'm running with a very bad crowd, and it's not good. My dad grabbed me in the kitchen. He says, Tommy, I think your mother's seen enough of this nonsense with me. I don't want to go through it again with you. If this is the way you want to live your life, do us a favor and get out of the house. Get out into the world and grow up. Grow up. So I got on a bus. I was discharged in Riverside, California, 1951. 51, 50, in through there. And I remember the people in California had their own houses, their own cars. They had swimming pools. I thought that's where I want to live. And I got on a bus to go to California and at a rest stop in a town called Lorain, Ohio. And I seen all the bars up the street in Lorain, Ohio, and I went up, I was going to have a couple of drinks in Lorain, Ohio. That was 1952. I'm still in Lorain, Ohio. That's the good part about leading a meeting when you got people out there, you're talking to alcoholics. You can start a story and they can finish it. They know the trip. We all know the trip down. We're not up here to tell you how bad it was. We're up here to let you know that you're not crazy, you're sick. And the things you did that you wonder, why did I do that, or why did I do this, or how did that happen? It's because you have a disease. They used to look at me like I was morally bankrupt. You're sick. You have a cancer that eats the soul. You don't know that. And the cure is stop drinking, and that's the only thing that keeps you going. I go to a doctor and saying I have cancer, and he says, well, I got to cut you open. No, no, you're not going to cut me open. I'm going to die if I don't. Well, I'll die, but you're not going to cut me open. It's like telling a drunk you have to stop drinking to get well. No, no, that's the only thing that makes me feel good I'm alive. Take away my drink, I'm dead. So I stop in for a few drinks, and the bus leaves, everything. I can end qualifying right there, people. Whenever I drink, everything leaves. Houses, jobs, wives, kids, everything leaves. I get on the phone, I say, Dad, I'm in this town in Ohio, and I would appreciate it if you send me some dough, Dad. I'll send it back 100-fold. My dad had been talking to people in AA. Hey, I have this son that's nutting a jaybird when he drinks. What can I do to help him? Frank, you want to help him? Yeah, don't help him. What the hell kind of advice is that? Let him wake up in enough jails. Let him beat his head in against enough walls. Let him get to the point where he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let him get to the point for just a couple of seconds. He gets honest with himself. He says, maybe it's me. Then we'll break our backs to help him, Frank. Till then, let the clown finish his act. My dad says, good luck and goodbye. Drinking a neighborhood bar, and they said they needed chemical engineers at a chemical company in Avon Lake, and I went out for an interview. We're sick, we're not dumb. I got the job, I'm a chemical engineer. I can't spell chemical engineer. Woman that interviewed me, Irish Catholic woman, I told her I went to St. John's. That's all it took. I don't even know where St. John's is. Here I am, working nights in the lab, mixing all this good stuff. Boy, I'm making all these Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde drinks. I'll never forget. While working, I met a young lady. God almighty, the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. Still is. I always say that. Because my wife will listen to the tape, and if she hears that, I make it lucky. I haven't got lucky in a long time. If I make a joke out of it, I won't get lucky, I'll tell you that. She invited me to a house for dinner. I went to a home for dinner. This young thing was only 18 years old. I met her in November. I married her in December. We don't fool around. We get something good, we grab it. I go to work, I get drunk, and I lose the job. Now here I am in a strange town with a wife, no money, no nothing. Her dad and I, who had a terrible fight, he broke my nose. We wound up in the hospital. They fixed to cut his eyes, and oh, it's a mess. There's a man that hated my guts, and when he had a stroke, know who he asked for? Tommy. Call Tom. He'll know what to do. Thanks, AA. Thanks, AA. So he took me into Cleveland. I got working as a pipe fitter apprenticed. And we took a two-car garage, and we made a little honeymoon cottage out of it. And the deal is, as soon as Tom gets in his third, fourth year, starts making a decent buck, we're going to buy a house in the suburbs with a white picket fence, and we're going to live happily ever after. 7 years and 4 children later, we're still in the cottage. People, I'm a journeyman now. I'm making a pretty decent buck, but the more I make, the more I drink. I used to drink on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sober. Friday, Saturday, sober up Sunday, go to work Monday. Then it's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, go to work Tuesday. And it's get paid on Wednesday, never make Thursday. All the time, wake up every, Lord knows. Wake up on the kitchen floor, she come out, need money for groceries. I don't have money for groceries. You know, I heard a woman, Nell, is that? I heard, for years I woke up with my ribs hurting. And my head hurting. And I used to think some cops worked me over. And I'm sitting there yesterday, and I hear Nell say she was teaching the children how to jump over daddy. I says, I'll be a son of a gun. That's where I got all my bruises. The kids jumping over daddy. Thank you. Now you open up a hole. See, you can always learn something. God almighty, did they kick. And I think the kids just got on me and jumped. I don't think they... Oh. Crazy things come to your head, don't they? She come out and ask for money for groceries. I don't have it, so I do the only thing I know how to do. I attack. Damn it, I drank when I married you. I'm going to continue to drink. You're not going to make a wimp out of me. I had a neighbor. I hated his guts. Normal type of guy. Biggest thing in his life was his grass. Every Saturday morning, mowing the damn grass. You ever have a hangover and have somebody run a lawnmower under your window? It hurts. I'd be in the bar, he'd come in, I'd say, send so-and-so down to drink. He'd drink it and leave. I'd, where you going? He'd say, I have to go home. Supper's waiting. Supper's waiting. When I stopped in for one drink, I could care less if the Pope is waiting. Doesn't bother me, people. It's party time. Come home one night, my suitcase hits me right in the chest. Tom, I had it. I had all I can take. Get out of our lives. I was happy. I was going to go live on the Gold Coast. Oh, I'm going to get a Cadillac convertible. I'm going to have alcohol running, everything, drink and dream. When you're not working too steady, you don't live in a Gold Coast. You live in an $8 a week room on West 65th in Detroit. And your biggest nights out is sitting in neighborhood bars peeling the labels off of beer bottles, listening to Poor Me songs. And when do you want to see your kids? You want to see your kids at 2, 3 in the morning. You drive out to Avon Lake in your car. Your car. Oh, God. Every drunk has a car, don't we? In construction, most guys have two cars. They have a nice family car where they take the wives and kids out and, on weekends and take trips in. And then they got a beat-up pickup or an old junker that they drive down to the mills or the old jobs. We only never had more than one car. I had an old 41 Plymouth with ball tires and no ignition key. I'll drink it one night. I lose the keys. My brother-in-law's electrician. He says, don't worry, I'll fix it. Reaches under the dash, pulls out all the wires, gives me a close spin. I put the three wires together. The car starts. I'm going to work Monday morning. I'm going down Clifton Boulevard. Hundreds of cars. To hit a bump. The close spin falls. The car stops. And I'm down looking for the clothesman. I got people blowing horns at me. It's a mess. I thought that was normal. You didn't spend money on keys. Jeez, that was drinking. She says we were separated a year and a half. I don't remember, people. I don't remember. A lot of this is just... I remember calling her up. I says, Glenn, I says, I'm not drinking. I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks, and I'm working, and I'm fed up with it. I wanna come home and see you and the kids. I says, I'd like to take you on a picnic this weekend. She says, you haven't drank in 3 weeks? I says, that's right. She says, all right. So I went and I bought picnic baskets and baseball gloves and all the things I thought that fathers do. Who teaches you how to be a father? I drove out to Avon Lake and I got her and the kids and I took them down the valley and I played ball and I did this for 3 weeks in a row and she thought I was a changed man. We'll start again, fresh start. People, when I tell you I'm not going to drink anymore, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart I mean it. I'm not trying to blow smoke. When an alky tells you he don't want to drink anymore, he means it. But something happens. I don't drink for 2 weeks, and suddenly I realize that, God, what kind of life is this? Go to work 5 days a week, give the wife the check, cut the grass on Saturday, go to church on Sunday, and go back to work on Monday. What the hell kind of life is that? Where's the excitement? Where's the fun? Where's the going out to cash the check and wake up in jail? Where's that fun? How about the good times when you get 37 stitches in your face? Oh, boy, I had a great time. Yeah, oh, yeah, you got some guy who did, oh. Miss those good times. Drunken driving charges, 4 of them in 5 months. Borrow money from loan companies. I knew every personal loan company, Sun Finance, Household Finance, you name it, I had a loan. Then you go and you get, you put all the loans together and get one big loan to pay them all off. Then you got one small payment. Well, you don't pay them off. You go and go on a drunk. Now you got the big ones and the small ones. And, my kids are going to school with holes in their shoes. Tell me about the good times. If it wasn't with the father-in-law, lots of times, I know we wouldn't have Christmases. Sitting on the, we buy a house on land contract. I'm sober 2 weeks. It was 30 days. I remember standing when we moved into the house and I got my little daughter. And I said to the wife, I said, she'll never see me drunk. This is a fresh start for us. It's going to be a new life. I'm going to go to work Monday and we're going to live like other people. And 30 days later, I'm sitting on the front porch nursing a hangover because sometimes during that 30 days, people, I stopped in for one. Because I got six nuts up here to live with me. God, you've been working every day and you're doing so good and everything else, making a wimp out of you. Next thing you know, the paycheck's gone, you're drunk and you're sitting on the porch. And up comes your brother-in-law, electrician that you introduced to your wife's sister and they got married. Oh, God, you see my father-in-law now? Tom, I got problems. I says, well, he's, I got a drunken driving charge. That's why I don't want to hear it. I'm paying off my last one on time payments. He says, yeah, but I'm being sued for divorce. I says, I know. He says, how do you know? I says, I got my papers this morning, too. Judge Jensen was a friend of the family's. The judge called him in. He says, look, I'll give you two divorces for the price of one. Get rid of both the losers. You girls can do better. The wife comes out. Starts talking to the brother-in-law. They get along great, still do. He's got over 40 years, too. She said, my sister and I were talking to a minister in this town, and he told us about a group of people that meet at his church on Friday nights, and they must be doing something right because they don't drink and they're putting their lives together. And Bob said, you think if I join that club, she'll hold off on the divorce? She says, I don't know, Bob. That'd be up to her. But you and her get along great when you don't drink. It might be worth a shot. I says, well, how about me? I'll go. I'll go to the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts. I don't want a divorce. She says, you, they don't make anything help people like you. You're just crazy. Friday night, we went to our, quote, first AA meeting. I'm 28 years old. He's 26. Who the hell can tell you anything when you're 28? You're streetwise. Been to two county fairs? What the hell? Know all the angles. Two things I do know when I get to the door of AA, the swinging doors of Avon Lake Friday. I don't like or trust people. You're all phonies. Everybody's out for what they can get. I'm going to sucker you before you sucker me. When you live in the streets, you think the streets. We open a door. I walk into this room. There's 20 or 30 people there. There's people, men with their wives. And they're all dressed nice and look good. I got 35 cents in my pocket and clean work clothes. Look at them, where the hell they have a drink? I thought I was at a PTA meeting. Well, we're standing there, and hey, alkies don't join things. We don't join. I looked you over. I didn't go to stop drinking. I went because I had a lot of problems and I want a lot of pressure on me, and I figured I'll just hang around long enough to get all the pressure off, then I'll show them. Standing there, and five or six guys are over by the coffee talking, and one guy breaks away. He's got to be 105 years old. Welcome, he says. It's so good to see you young fellas. This program works, fellas. I haven't had a drink in 16 years. 16 years. My legs got weak. My brother-in-law says, you got to be awful thirsty, mister. Who the hell ever not drink for 16 years? Then he started telling us about this wonderful world of life we're going to find, and we're going to find God. And I thought, oh, boy, you did it now, Burns. You joined some kind of cult here. Find God. I had a deal with God when I was 16. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Because I was a loser when I was 12. The book was filled. There was no more room. I was done. I say, Mister, not me, him. He's in bad shape. His wife's suing him for divorce. He got drunk and driving charge. I come to help him. He says, thank you. And he takes Bob and he goes over in the corner. I go down. There's a group of guys telling jokes about drunken driving charges. Jokes. There's nothing funny about drunken driving charges. When you haven't got the money to pay them, there's nothing funny about them. Then they announce the lead. Oh, boy. Here's the Messiah. Here's the guy with the suit and the white shirt and tie, and boy, does he look cute. My brother-in-law and I, we go and we sit down by ourselves over on the side. I'm not joining. I'm looking you over, and I wasn't too impressed. Guy gets up here. They had a cake. One little cake with one candle. It was his first anniversary, and it was his first lead. And oh, God, he was just tiptoeing through the tulips. Everything was just beautiful. First day I hear it, this is over 40 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Gets up at the front of the meeting, and he looks out, and his wife was in about the third row. Smiles at her, she smiles at him. He says, isn't it great to be sober? I got up this morning, and I could smell the flowers. Smell the flowers. I don't like flowers. If I had my way, my yard be concrete. Mowing grass and all that nonsense. No, I don't want to hear that. You smell the flower. Well, isn't that nice? You smell the flowers. Then looks at his wife. He says, hi, honey, I love you. And she stands up and says, I love you too. My brother-in-law poked me. He says, what the hell are we doing here? I said, I don't know what the hell we're doing here. You wanted to come here, you sick son of a gun. Not me. My wife's home lighting candles. Dear God, let him die. We'll get the insurance. That's where we were. There was no I love you in my home. It's a riot. I go to meetings, 12-step calls now. We pick up a guy, take him to the hospital. Wife's out in the car. I'll come see you as soon as I can, honey. My wife says, take him. Don't bring him back. Just take him. Nothing. We're not easy to live with. I'll tell you what I found out in 47 years. There's not an alky in this room could take what he dished out. When my wife is 26, she looks 60. Living with an alcoholic will do that to you. Now she's well over 70. She looks 26 to me. Thank you, Al-Anon. You gave her a brain back. You gave her eyes back. You gave her bright. In fact, you gave her too much. Now she says, stick it. Every time I get to go to my spiel, stick it, Burns. Jump. I'll tell you how you never get in a fight. I'll tell you how you never get in a serious argument with your wife. Would you like to hear that? Wouldn't that be worth something? I'll tell you how you never get in another argument. A serious argument. I have a neighbor. He's 88 years old, Roy. Roy is the greatest neighbor a man could ever have. He can't hear and so forth, and he's a little senile, but he's the greatest neighbor he could ever have. And every day, Roy gets up on his lawnmower, and he... Lawnmower doesn't have a muffler, has nothing. So I'm over with my horse shit. And the wife is over fixing the roses and what have you. And all of a sudden, I see Arlene come out. And she's screaming and hollering, Roy, get off the goddamn lawnmower. I'm going to cut the grass. No, you're not. You cut the grass yesterday for crying out loud. Get over it. Trim the hedges. I don't want to trim the goddamn hedges. Right there, they're fighting. And the wife comes over to me and she says, is that what we got to look forward to in a few years? I says, don't knock it, honey. I says, that's how people in their 80s make love. She says, what? I says, that's how people in their 80s make love. I says, look at Arlene. You ever see her? So red and excited and sweating. And look at Roy. Roy is just hopping up and down like he's 21. I says, that's the way to go. She says, is that right? I says, that's right. Okay, so she gets back to her roses. I get back to my horse shit. And 2 or 3 weeks later, we're going down Southern Ohio. And there's a sign near a town called Burbank. It says, road work being done, bypass, go back up this Route 71, big four-lane county road. Go on 71, go here 4 miles, turn right, do this. So he says, don't you think we ought to go back? I says, no. I said, you don't go back. I said, they do that for the tourists. I says, the people that live here have shortcuts. You take a little road off of it. She says, well, why don't we just follow the directions? I said, because I'm not going to drive 6-8 miles for nothing. When I get down, some farmer will tell me how to get around it. So she sits there, and I take the car, and I go out. Hour and a half later, we're out in the middle of boondock somewhere. We're in nothing but corn. And she starts. Damn it, she says, you never change, you never follow instructions. We're lost, we're supposed to be down there. I says, hey, I says, I'm not going to make love in this car. She started laughing, and we haven't had an argument since. I got to one of my spiels, she says, is that foreplay? And believe me, when you're almost 80, you grab every chance you got, any way you can do it. Where the hell am I? I don't know. He finished his lead. I wasn't impressed. We started out, my brother-in-law and I. And there was only one way out, one door. It was my first meeting. And I want to get out as fast as I can because I didn't hear anything I wanted. It just didn't show me much. And when you're new, you don't understand words like surrender. You don't tell an alky to surrender. Because your hair goes up when you hear the word. The strength is in the surrender. Screw you, strength in the surrender. I don't believe it. Love. Resent. I never had resentment in my life. I went straight to hate. Boom. No resentments. But I love they're real alkies here. You know that? You ever laughing? They're real alkies. They know what I'm talking about. They know what I'm talking about. I get to the door, and at the door is Big John, John M. John's about 6'2", 220 pounds, 50-ish, good shape. Good shape. And John don't take his eyes off me, and I think, oh, that's how it works. You know the drink tonight, you got to pass John, and it doesn't look like you're not going past John. John puts out his hand. He says, hello, young fella. I says, hello. 5 minutes, he told my whole story. From drunken driving, the jail time, the divorces. Once they shake hands with you, they don't let go of your hand. You ever notice that? They got you. He says, now I know that. I says, yeah, my wife told you. He says, no, Tom. He says, your wife, Tim, talk to your wife. He says, that's where I was. And a lot worse. People in this room come out of straps. There's people in this room come out of prison. People in this room come out sleeping in the streets. There's people in this room come out of their $500,000 homes on the lake living like zombies. But you do yourself a favor, young fella. You bring the body here and the mind will catch up. One day, 3 days, 3 months, 6 months, 7 months, a year, 2 years, I guarantee you, you're going to have a new brain. The fifth chapter and the first 164 pages are my Bible. I believe the book is it. But action is even more. Doing, not knowing, doing. I was doing the 12 steps before I knew what they were. If you would have asked me, what's the first step in AA, I would have said, get in the car. That's all they ever told me to do, get in the damn car. I couldn't read a book. If you would have gave me the big book and said, here's sobriety, I try to read the big book, I read this paragraph and go to this one, I couldn't tell you what was in that one. I got AA in church basements, cars, kitchens, sitting in hospitals, listening to old-timers talk to patients. and doing exactly what the man that became my sponsor told me to do. I followed instructions. You know my prayer is after 47 years, you know where the whole thing took me? Dear God, I'll move the feet, but you run the head. That's my program. That's my 12 steps. You put me where you need me. Give me the strength, I'll move the feet, God. I'll tell you how I got there. It's a great thing. On the way home, my brother-in-law said, what do you think? I said, they got something, Bob. I'm going to find out what. I don't know what they got, but they got something. The hell with it. You even have to...
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
4 months I come to your meetings. 4 months I heard your success stories. There, I slept in the streets, I got in AA, and now I got my business back, I got 6 Cadillacs, and I got my beautiful wife and kids. Isn't that just wonderful? I leave the meeting, I go home, the wife say, how'd the meeting go? What do you mean, how'd the meeting go? I'm sober, ain't I? What the hell more do you want? Keep the kids quiet. The kids get me nervous, I'll drink. And you better have breakfast on the table, because if you don't have breakfast on the table, they told me I'll drink. So if you don't have breakfast on the table, your fault. Do me a favor, go get drunk. At least we had some peace. I had her believing it was her fault. Huh. Then they took her to that communist club. You think, laugh, go ahead, laugh. Wait till your wife goes there. Your wife goes there, your act's going right down the tube, fella. They're gonna teach the kids how to walk over you. Thank you, Al-Anon. After 4 months, I decide my problem is not booze. My problem's money. If I had enough money to take care of her and the kids, I'd do whatever I want, and everything'd be fine. I'll go to Arkansas and get those hot baths and whatever. I hear about jobs in South Dakota. They're working 7-12s. How'd I go? Sturgis, South Dakota. They're putting in the missile bases and the Minutemen. Good apprenticeship in Cleveland. I wound up in charge of the Titan II fuel systems. Anytime anybody worked, I got paid. I made a lot of money. At that time, it was a lot of money. Still a lot of money. No place to live. But when the local men said, Tommy, my neighbor's husband passed away. She's going to live with her daughter. There's a 300-acre ranch out down from me that you could lease. I said, I'll take it. Sight unseen, I'll take it. It was an old chicken ranch. Called the wife. I said, come on out. She drinking? I said, no, I'm not drinking. I'm working. I got this place. You're going to love it. I says, the kids are going to love it. I says, you can hunt pheasant on the property with a 22 single shotgun. That's single shot 22, because that's how many pheasant there are. Rabbits the size of kangaroos. You should have seen the damn rabbits. Deer, everything, running. She said, I'll be out. I'm thinking, boy, I got the world by the tail. I got all this money now. My wife's coming out to live with me in the country. And we're right by Bearview Mountain. Robert Taylor owned the ranch miles down the street. And I figured, things are so good, I'm going to stop in and have just one drink, because things were going too slow. One shot, one beer, and off you are. And all the things I heard that happened to people in here that never happened to me, it's out there waiting for you. The wife came out in June. She stayed till Christmas. Twice my family almost froze to death. Once I was in jail, they called and told her to come and get me. She started in with the car, hit a white out, and going off the road, and it wasn't a fuel oil truck that found my wife and kids, they would have froze to death. It was no fun, people. I'm in blackouts. I lose the job because I can't read a print. I'm back welding. I throw the hood down. I hear Christmas carols in February. Come home one night, and there's a note. Took all I can take. She took the kids and left. Went back to Ohio. I stayed out there now 2-3 months. A guy from Ohio says, "Tommy, I'm going home. Let me take you." I get to the back door of the house. She cracks the door. She says, "I don't want to see you. I don't want the kids to see you. Just get the hell out of our lives. I'll send the papers to New York. Just get out of our lives." I go to the hall. I get a ticket to go to work in New York. I get to New York. I'm too sick to work. I stop in for a few drinks. And there I am. I'm sleeping in the subways, in the hallways, in the areaways. I used to say, "I'll never drink wine." You'll drink any damn thing you get your hands on. I wake up one night. It was dark. And I wake up on Coney Island Avenue in a long, dark hallway. And I hear a sob, and I hear a woman sobbing. My God, oh my, I never heard anything like it in my life. I look over into my mother. I said, "Mom, what's the matter?" She says, "What's the matter?" She says, "Look at you, son, you're killing me." I said, "Mom, I'm fine." She says, "Fine, you look like death warmed over. Please go get help." I leave there. I figure, well, my wife don't love me. The kids don't want me. My mother, I'll commit suicide. Dying looked easier than living. I go down to 3rd Avenue, and I get up on the trestle, and I'm going to jump. And I look over, and I had a spiritual awakening. I see the great big boulders, and I think, wow, suppose you hit the boulders and don't die. Oh, no. I don't know any Al-Qaeda wants to hurt. I don't want to hurt. I call the wife. She sends me money to come back. And the reason she sent me money to come back to Ohio is she was trying to feed and raise and work and back to nursing school and raise 4 kids. It's a tough shot, people. She figured if I got the talent back in town and worked, maybe I could give her a few bucks. That's why I went back. 5 days, I sweated out on the couch. I went down the hall. They gave me a hid me down the mill for 3 days. I got a 3-day check. I went to the bar to cash it. I had woke up in jail because I went home and wrecked the house like a nut, like a madman. I cried all night because I wasn't worried about being an alcoholic. I thought I was insane. What the hell am I doing here again? What did I do this time? I look up and there stands my brother-in-law. Cleaned up, white shirt, eyes bright. I got to put up my wall. We don't want anybody in, huh? We can't let anybody in. I can't let you know I'm afraid. I'm John Wayne. I said, "Bob, can you imagine I'm in jail again?" And he laughed at me. My drinking buddy laughed at me. "Can I imagine?" "Yeah, of course I can imagine you're in jail again. You're just like me. When you drink, you're crazy." "Tom, I haven't had a drink in 8 days. 8 days. No, no, you can't go 8 days. You can't go 8 days. What do you think when I hear 10 days, 5 days, 3 days? That's a long time. That's eternity." He says, "Tom, I went to, they put me in straps, detox." He said, "I got out. I got a sponsor. We go 2 meetings a day. If they don't send you away, Tommy, I'll take you with me tonight." They gave me 6 years probation, and I had to pay for a cop car, and I had not a car, but the damage and the uniforms, it was a mess. That night, him and a man old enough to be my father took me to Lorraine St. Mary's in Lorraine, and I can't tell you a thing about the lead. I can't tell you a thing. All I know, I was sitting at a table, and inside I'm screaming, "Oh, God, help me. I'm not like these people. I can't. I'm not like these people, God. I have to drink. If I don't drink, I'll die. I can't live without drinking. I don't know how to live without drinking. When I was drinking, I was comfortable. I had my problems when I was sober. I didn't know how to live in your world." Man come up. He says, "How you doing, young fella?" I says, "Fine, fine, fine." On the way out, man had become my sponsor. He He said to another man, I'll see you next week. And I grabbed him physically. I said, how do you know that? How do you know you're going to see him next week? How do you know you're going to be sober next week? He's back off and come with me. We went to a drugstore. We got vitamin B, Karo syrup, orange juice, and honey. Went to my kitchen table. He poured out the pills, mixed the orange juice and honey, said, take them and drink that. How do you explain to a new man, or how do you explain to people, eyes? How do you explain eyes? This man was sober 12 years, and he had the good, kind, strong eyes. How do you explain that? How do you explain eyes that look at you, not down at you? How do you explain eyes that you feel the guy likes, like you? You know what it feels like to have somebody like you? Just like you. Come on, come with us. You know what it feels like to walk into a room, and you went to a meeting the other night and you met a guy, and you walk into a strange room and he waves, hey, Tom, sit here. How good that feels. You're part of, somebody cares. They don't look at where you are. They know where you are. They were there, but they know you don't know any way out. We do. Put your feet where we put ours. Do the things we do, and you'll get a new brain. You'll get a new brain. I promise you. And things that you think are important now, not important. He said to me, you ever drink? What time is that? 10 after 12. He's ever drink today? I said, no. He says, you got it. I said, well, why did you get the program? You haven't had a drink in 24 hours. That's bottom line. There's more. You're not ready. 8 o'clock in the morning, that man was at my house. He said, you realize you got 1/3 of today in? Come with me. We went to a halfway house. I got a shot of vitamin B. We went to 2 discussion groups. And that night, he came to my house and took me to a meeting. And we went to a meeting and a meeting and a meeting and a meeting and a meeting. Months we went to meetings. 90 days? No. We just went to meetings. They get down to Amish country. 3 other guys in the car. 1 in the front, 2 on each side of you in the back. They tear you apart on the way down. Put you together on the way home. Meetings, 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 meetings. I remember once he come, I used to think, I'm not going tonight. I'm going to get dressed, go over the east side. Nothing, because nothing in my life is changing. I'm sleeping on the couch. I could have been a priest. The only reason we're together is we can't afford a divorce, people. There's no love, there's no trust, there's no respect, there's no nothing in our home. My kids are going to school with holes in their shoes. Tell me about how good sobriety is. I go to a meeting and some guy's in the kitchen yelling and screaming. I said, what happened? He said, I missed a 3-foot putt. Oh, is that a goddamn shame? Missed a 3-foot putt. I can't pay my gas bill. That's troubles. Meetings. They come to pick me up one night. I said, I'm not going tonight. I'm going to spend some time with the wife and kids. And my daughter, 4 years old, come running out with my clothes. No, Daddy, here you go, Daddy. Please. We love it when you go, Daddy. Meetings, 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 meetings. I went to a meeting and somebody says, any anniversaries? And somebody said, Tom's sober a year. Everybody clapped. Oh, boy, I got a head that big. That big. You should have seen me. I'm driving home. A year. Son of a gun. This guy says, hey, Burns, you still broke? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. You've been working steady, haven't you? Yeah, you're giving it checks every week, 40 hours, yeah. And you're still broke. She don't know how to handle money, Burns. You better handle the money. She's probably on dope. Is that right? That's right. Damn right. I'm going to handle the money from now on. This guy says, you're still sleeping on the couch? I says, yeah. He says, you crazy? He says, you work. You sleep in the bed. You put her on the couch. Is that right? That's right. Yeah, damn right. I'm the only one in the car. You think that's funny? I'll guarantee it is. And an alky in this room don't have at least 2 nuts in his head. We always listen to the nutty ones. I walk in the house and she's in the living room reading those communist books. That's all she ever does, read them. I walked in, I said, new game rules. From now on, I sleep in the bed. And she looks up. Don't even crack us, nothing. Just and from now on, I'm going to handle the money. And from that, she says, whoa. That's what they learn how to say, whoa. I said, what do you mean, whoa? Do you know what today is? Do I know what today is? She said, go out in the kitchen, look at the calendar. I went out in the kitchen, great big red circle. July the 5th, Tom Sober, 1 year today. Still crazy. I used to think booze was our problem, Burns. I used to think you rant, raved, acted like some spoiled brat because you didn't get your way. But I know you haven't had a drink in a year, Tom. There's nothing changed in you. There's nothing changed in you. Everything is me, 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 me. How rough you got it. How rough you got it. How don't I realize what me and the kid's doing and what you could be doing if it wasn't for us? Well, go do it. I've had it. For their sanity and my sanity, get out of our lives. I went to the meeting. I grabbed the old-timers in the kitchen. You lied to me. You bunch of people lied to me. You told me if I don't drink, my life get better. We said, you don't drink and you make your life better. Went to a meeting. I was sober 14, 15 months. And I heard a guy lead, and people, he told my story. He drank in the same bars I drank, hung out in the same places. He was sober 6 years. And his wife was with him, and they were going on their first AA vacation with the two kids. They were going to Watts Bar Lake, Tennessee. I remember that. I can't remember yesterday, but I remember that. They just bought a new refrigerator. He had the same job for 6 years. And they were just tiptoeing through the tulips. God, life was beautiful. And I sat there, and I watched his wife look at him, and she's looking at him like he's some kind of movie star. And I'm thinking, when is my life going to get like that? When is my wife going to want to be with me? When are my kids going to want to be with me? When does it get good? How come every day for me not drinking is a fight? I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to drink today. How come it don't work for me? I pick up cups. I set up chairs. I do all the things. I go on 12-step. Nothing. Always a fight. This is not marriage counseling. He ended his lead with, take it home, yo-yo. Take the program home. You're going to hear it from every old-timer you ever meet. Take the program home. Because we know it's a lot easier to stay sober when things at home are going good. When you're sleeping on the couch and everybody in the house walking on eggshells, sobriety ain't with the powder is blowing to blow it up. When you and the kids are going for ice cream and you and the wife going out for dinner and a show and you're sleeping in your own bed, boy, this has some payoffs. This is pretty good. I mean, you go buy new shoes for the kids and new clothes for the kids. This is pretty good. And the bills start getting paid. It's a payoff. There has to be a payoff. I'm not even into spirituality. I'm into just living and having a few bucks in your pocket. After it gets done, I sat down. I said, how do you take it home? Don't tell me to do something, then not to. How do you do that? Guy come over, he says, Tommy, can I speak to you over there a minute? I said, sure. I thought he needed some advice. Put his arm around me and he says, you self-centered, selfish son of a gun. When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? A little over a year ago, you were sleeping in the weeds. Did you forget that, Burns? Now you got the wheels, you got a few bucks in your pocket, you got a warm bed to sleep in, you got a wife, you got your kids. You got more blessings you'll ever deserve. We have four absolutes, Burns. One of them is unselfishness. Why don't you put it in your life if you can? Do something for somebody else for once in your life. See what happens. And he walked away. Oh, I'm sorry. He did say, when are you going to learn how to say thank you, God, for the things you have? When are you going to learn this, how to say thank you, God? I never prayed. I didn't know how to pray. You know how I learned how to pray every night? Thank you, God. That was all. Thank you, God. Thank you. And suddenly, somebody is listening. I don't know how. I can't explain it to you. You just know because you know. And it don't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. I said, I got to do something. I stopped at a little convenience store and I bought a box of chocolate-covered cherries. $1.89, big deal, huh? Joe Yo-Yo from the street, gonna be a lover. I got a card that you give somebody that was in the hospital. Thanks for being there when I needed you. Love, Tom. I went to the house, I walked in the back door. She's in the living room. I don't even have the guts to give it to her. I put it on the kitchen table. I walk in the living room, I says, Glenn, can I have a couple minutes of your time? Can you imagine that, talking to her like she had a brain? Can you imagine talking to her with some respect? It's called making amends. I said, Glenn, I heard a guy talk tonight. Damn it, I want to be like him. They're going on a vacation, Glenn. And I want to be able to, and his wife had nice clothes on. I want you to have nice clothes. And said, every time we get a few bucks to go, you go shopping, you buy everything for the kids. You never buy anything for yourself, Glenn. I want you to buy stuff for yourself. I have money to buy stuff. I make enough money, we should be able to. I said, we should be getting out of debt pretty soon. Things, I wanted us to do things too. I'm going to change. You give me a couple of months, Glenn. If I don't change, I'll leave. But if I do, we might make it. And we might have a hell of a life. And she smiled. She said, who led the meeting? Jesus. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe anything was happening to Nutty. She says, I'll make some coffee. She went out in the kitchen, sat at the kitchen table, and it wasn't 2 minutes, I hear this crying. And my wife was sitting at the kitchen table with the card and the candy, and Joe Hardgale lost it. I sat at the kitchen table and I lost it, and all the pain for the years and all the hurts, and we cried. And we hugged. And we talked. The way it can be, the way it should be. Got out the envelopes, 5 a week in this one, 10 a week in that one, 20 a week in this one, and pretty soon you start paying the bills. Anybody on the couch? Stop and get a box of candy. I come home, I was sober 17, 18 months, and my wife says, hey, Burns, you see that $30 on the kitchen table? I says, yeah. She says, that's our $30, Burns. That's our 30 bucks. Saturday morning, I put the kids in my new used car. We went out to Sandusky, Ohio, to a Perkins, or not a Perkins, some kind of pancake house. I bought $30 worth of whipped cream and pancakes and strawberries. My daughter was 4 years old. She come running around the table. We had one of those big round tables with the boots. She come running around the table. She says, Daddy, can I have some more strawberries? I said, Corrine, you can be a strawberry. My daughter kissed me on the cheek, and she says, Daddy, I love you. That's my AA people. Not pie in the sky. Not the hereafter. Here and now. Here and now. My sons run to the car to get in the front seat because they wanted to be with me. Kids that wouldn't even stay in the same room with me. They wanted to be with Daddy. Things start getting good, people. Come to meetings, follow instructions. I'm sure in a short time I get a call from a sponsor. He says, come pick me up. About time you did some 12-step work. 12 o'clock at night, I go to his house, I go to take him, and we go to a little summer cottage. Listen to what happens when you think of somebody else besides yourself. When they say the easiest way to stay sober is help a drunk, believe me, it's true. We go to this house, and it's a little summer cottage, and the screen door opens. The woman's standing there, she's got a great big bruise on her face, and she's crying. There's two kids, 5 and 6 years old, in sneakers and underwear. This is wintertime. They're crying and scared like my kids used to be, like Algie's kids are. She says, my husband's dead. He asked me to call, and he died. And I look, it's just two bedrooms and a kitchen and a living room, and that's it. I look and I see this guy, and he's just a bundled up in a blanket. I walk in and I grab him. I listen for a heart, listen for a breath. Nothing. This guy is dead. That's why you have to die on my first 12-step call, you son of a... I go to carry the message, I get a corpse. What the hell you want from me? I go out to the kitchen, I say, Bill, this guy is shot. He said, young lady, do you have anything in the house to drink? She says, I have this bottle of wine. He took the wine in a glass. Let me show you what impresses a drunk. Walked into the living room, hit them together. He said, hey, buddy, want a drink? The guy sat right up. Bing. Gave him a glass of wine. He gave it to him. He drank it halfway down, and he took it. And I seen this guy's eyes open like that. Well, what are you doing? And he filled it again. Gave it back to him. And boy, you guys were all right, damn right. Want to go to a party with us? Yeah. Boom, Bayview Hospital, down the back ramp, bang. Give him a shower, Tommy. What do you mean, give him a shower? I'm not going to give him any goddamn shower. Give him a shower. He needs a shower. Let's get the goddamn time and give him a shower. Put him to bed. I get home at 5 in the morning. I'm beat. I go to work. I get home at 5 at night. I'm going to bed, and the phone rings. I don't even want to eat. Did you stop and see the new man? No, I didn't stop and see the new man. I don't like the new man. Doesn't matter if you like him or not. He's going to be there 5 days. You go down and see how he is. I said, Bill, I don't know what to tell him. He said, who the hell says you got to tell him anything? How about getting him some cigarettes and sitting on his bed and just listening and let him know somebody cares enough to be there? Can you do that? I go buy some cigarettes. I get in the car. I get down to the hospital. Walk in. He's in the... Hi, how you doing? They treating you all right? Is everything... Have a cigarette. I don't care if you smoke. You don't smoke, you son of a bitch. Have a cigarette. I don't like you either. There's no secret to sponsorship. Trust your gut. Because you're not doing it. You're just a messenger. You kept this guy sober and you kept bullshit. You showed him the map. That's all you do. Carry the map. Something said, suppose, I bet he don't know where he is or how he got here. And I says, I bet you don't know where you are, how you got here. How do you know that? That's because I woke up in jail about a year and a half ago, and I don't know how I got there. He says, you know. You know. Now you got trust. Now you got sponsorship. Now you got tightness. They know you know. You've been there and you found a way out. You didn't read about it. You didn't hear about it. You don't have a friend that... You were there. 5 days, took him home. My sponsor, unbeknown to me, was putting groceries in the house so the kids could eat. You don't hear about those things. Take him to meetings, meetings. I'm taking him every night to meetings. He gets in my car. He's sober 3 months. He says, boy, he says, that 24-hour book is great. Did you read today? No. No. Boy, I'm stuck there, Tommy. I went to a meeting. I bought a 24-hour book. I read yesterday, next month. Wait, he asked me. I'll know all about a sponsor. I'll know all about this goddamn book. He gets in my car, he's sober 5 months. Says, boy, don't that fifth chapter blow your mind? I bought a big book. I hope to God you get in. I have a son that is sober now 27 years, but when he was sober 5 years, he sponsored me. He knew more about that big book than I ever dreamed of. Thank God. They say AA isn't the way it used to be. No, no, it's better. It's better. There's more wisdom today than there ever was. They understand it. It's not only the first three steps will keep you sober, keep you from not drinking. The group will keep you from not drinking. But you'll walk around a miserable son of a gun because you'll have your mental obsession to drink is on your mind 24 hours a day. That's why the group takes you to the steps, and the steps takes you to God, and God takes away the desire to drink. You don't do it. It's a byproduct of doing what you're supposed to do. It's a gift. Not a college course where you study and get 100. You'll be working at this the rest of your life. 8 months, I get it. Please listen to me, because the only thing I wish for you is you experience some of the experiences I've had and we've had. 8 months, I get a call from this guy's wife, and she's crying. And I figured, that son of a gun's drinking. After all I did, I'll break his legs. That's what I've done. I go down to the house, and I get out of the car, and I'm going up the driveway, and a screen door slams. And here's this little woman standing there crying. And she grabbed my hands and put them behind my back and kissed me on the cheek. And I could still to this day feel her tears. She says, God bless you, Tom Burns, and God bless AA. That's when it happens, people. That's when this thing goes from here to here. You got a woman pouring her heart's blood out to you. And you feel, what the heck did I do? I'm a drunk, and I got this woman blessing me. Two kids come running out. Come on, Uncle Tom. Now you're Uncle Tom. Come on, Uncle Tom. Come on, Uncle Tom. And in you go into a bedroom. He's standing there. There's a bed full of Levi's and slips and dresses and you name it. Two little bicycles. A refrigerator full of food. He went to the credit union, borrowed $1,200. This family went Christmas shopping in June. You want to see my AA? Watch a six-year-old kid with a brand new pair of pants jumping up and down saying, look at what my daddy got me. And looking at his daddy like he's Superman. I don't hug. To this day, I don't like that hugging, but I do it. Depends on how old you are. If you're 91, like my girlfriend, where is she? It's Dave's mother. And then I got another girlfriend right over here that has the greatest band you ever seen in your life. Choir, right? Choir. I'll never forget that. Where the hell am I? Anyway, I went out to the car, and that's the first time I had a relationship with a God of my understanding. I never knew what they were talking about till that day. I says, God, I love this. Please, God, you keep putting me in these situations, because I'll do them. Whatever you want, I'll do them. But you better tell me what to say, and you better tell me how to do it, because I don't know. But I have so much faith in you and this program and the people in it that if I just listen to you, I'll be fine. And that's not to say I do it all the time, but boy, when I don't do it, I pay the price. I'm a one miserable son of a gun when I tell God I'll run the show. So for the next 23 years, my life, we go into business for myself, my son and I. I'd follow instructions. I was always a good mechanic, but I didn't know anything about business. But I meet people in AA. I meet bookkeepers, accountants, engineers, estimators. They teach me. I follow instructions. I go into business, and within a year, we got 29 men working for us. I got a payroll every week, twice, three times as much as I used to make a year. Made more money I ever seen. Not big to some people, but to me it was big. I get down to visit my sponsor in Fort Myers, Florida. And I said to him, I says, look at this. I says, 78 degrees. My folks are up in New York freezing. He's telling me there's a place for sale around the corner. Went around the corner, I bought the place. Went to New York, got my mother and my dad, took them to Florida. That same woman that was crying in the hallway is standing in her new home, in her new kitchen, crying. But their tears of joy. She's saying, look what Tommy did. Look what AA did. You think getting things are good? People wait till you start giving. And if it's no more than a handshake to a guy coming in for the first time, you get more than you'll ever give. We get it. Houses, we get cars, we get all the things. My daughter came in the program. She had 3 years of sobriety, and she went to work for an advertising company taking care of Coca-Cola accounts all over the country. And she used to come home between assignments. She says, Daddy, my next assignment is in Florida, but I don't want anybody touching my antiques. I said, don't worry. She collected antiques from all over the world. So we get the antiques. I put them in a company truck. I give her a little foreign convertible. I get guys to drive the truck. And down we go. And we go to south of Miami, Coral Gable, Capes, whatever. Here it is, the gated community deal with the condos and this. And she says, you and Mom go swimming and we'll go out to dinner. I'm going to get things ready. I want to cook breakfast. So we get out in the morning, we go swimming, and then we have breakfast, and she gives us letters about how much she loves us. And so I go visit my mother, visit my dad, visit my sponsor, and we go home. 10 days later, Memorial Day, 1985, a cop comes to my home and tells my wife my daughter was murdered. A drug addict seen the antiques. He needed money for drugs, and she woke up and he killed my daughter. So that's one of the reasons I'm here today. It helps. It helps being here today with you people. I don't know how you react, people. Well, now we'll see what you believe. I went out in the backyard, and I said, God, you sick, crazy son, what kind of nut are you? I'm going to Florida, I'm going to blow somebody's head off, and I hope to God you're there, I'll blow your head off too. You can take your AA and your God and your good and all this, and I cut myself off of all spiritual connections. I go from 200 to 130. I have constant blackouts. I don't know my own name half the time. The only thing I'm trying to do is kill somebody. They caught him. He killed 3 other girls. He's in jail. I'll go to jail. I'll start an AA meeting. I'll go, and when he comes, I'll cut his throat. That's all I can think about is kill, kill, kill. That's how you get sick. Finally, my wife comes in the kitchen one day, and I went to the kitchen to get something. I didn't know what it was, and she came in from shopping. I said, get out of here. I don't want you to see me this way. She went up and got my son Chris, and he got Ed Cole, 2 AAs. My son Chris is 280, 6'5". Ed Cole's about 300, 6'5". They come to help Daddy, both of them in there. That's my son, 5 years sober at that time. Come on, Dad, he says, just because you're sober at that time, 23, 24 years, he says, that doesn't mean you can't crack up. They took me to the hospital. The doctor says, how do you feel, Mr. Burns? I says, I don't care if I live or die. Never say that to a doctor. They want to put you in a little room. My son says, no, you're not putting my dad in any room. Took me out for a steak dinner, then we went back to St. John's. They could put me in a double room. I'm there for 10 days. I got people coming in asking me if I love my mother. I got people. I got AAs coming from all over the country telling me to pray for this guy. I'm throwing them out. I'll tell them I'll kill him, then I'll pray for him. Nothing's happening. After 10 days, they send me home to see how I would do. I see a picture of my daughter, and I go crazy, and they send me back. Another week, nothing's happening, people. I'll show you how strong this program is. I don't care what problem you got. This program has an answer. My son walks in the room. Hi, Dad. Hi, Chris. Dad, he says, these people may help you physically. They may help you mentally. But he says, me and this book is going to help. We're going to help you spiritually, Dad. I says, take your book, your God, and get the hell out of here. He killed my daughter. God gets blamed for a lot of things he has nothing to do with, but that's where I was. My son picked me up. He said, where in the hell did you get that God? Where'd you get a sick God that kills? That isn't a God you told me about all my life. That isn't a God that took me off the streets and gave me my family. That isn't a God that put you back in and raised us. My God cried when my sister was murdered. Not only did he cry for my sister, he cried for the young man that did it. Because that was his son. And he had no more control over what he was doing than you did when you were drinking, Dad. Let God handle those things. We can't. But he can. Let God handle that. I'm going to sponsor you, Dad. And my son sponsored me. Still sponsors me. Nobody knows I'm sick. You don't know I'm sick, do you? I'm still sick.
We
hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.